This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Right now, the president is about to speak to the Congress. We're not going to carry that. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and up until about 11 days ago, what we did on this show was comedy. 11 days ago, it's been what, Mike? It's been 9 days. We did comedy, we did social satire, we did funny voices in different characters, and we got people calling in thinking they were talking to a real person. All of those voices done by me. And that's what we did up until about 9 days ago. I know it sounds kind of screwy, but it was funny. I think it was about as funny as anything else there was on the radio. That much I can tell you for sure. But 9 days ago, everything changed and has changed for at least for the foreseeable future. I'd like to say tomorrow we'll go back to the show that we used to do, but I don't know. Now, here's what I really want to say. Right now, the president is about to begin speaking to the Congress. They are still giving him an ovation. And I want you to go and I want you to watch that. I don't want you to listen to this show right now. I know it's a crazy thing to say, but I want you to leave the radio now and I want you to listen to what the president is about to say. I want you to listen to him with both of your ears open. And maybe it's the first time you've ever heard a president speak. Go now. He's about to speak. We're not going to take any calls for the duration of the president's speech. We have busied out the lines, so forget about trying to call us. Go, watch the president. I can't. I'm going to be here doing the radio show. So when he's done speaking, come back to the radio, call me, we'll talk about it. But for right now, we're not going to take any phone calls. And that means that whoever is left listening to me cannot possibly listen to the speech for some reason. You have a radio, and I'm sure it's on the radio somewhere. Maybe we're being preempted. Maybe I'll be talking to myself here for the next few minutes. But I was driving home last night, and I was thinking about one other moment in the history of the world, and it was just mentioned, in fact, by Jeff Greenfield on CNN, and that was the plight of Britain in 1940. Now, it seems that we look at what we're going through right now as just the worst possible thing that could happen to our country, and it's a terrible thing, but others have had it a little bit tougher, and I say that to say that we can take some inspiration and we can get educated by their experience. We can watch and see what they did. In 1940, France had fallen to the Nazis. England was alone. Britain was alone. Winston Churchill went before the House of Commons and said that if Britain were to fall, they would enter into a long, dark ages, a long period of just darkness. They were alone, and he went before the House of Commons, and I think he mentioned in his radio address, maybe it was the radio address, maybe it wasn't the House of Commons, where he made the famous speech, the blood, sweat, and tears speech. And that we will fight them in the streets and we'll fight them in the fields and we will fight them on the beaches and we won't yield one inch of British soil. They were really up against it. And Hitler had in store for them some real fun times. He had developed a thing called the V-1 rocket, which would rain destruction on Britain. And he developed the V-1 rocket for one reason and one reason only. This was how sick and twisted Hitler was, and we are facing people that are every bit in his league. He developed the V-1 and then later the V-2 rocket for only one reason, and that was to demoralize the British people by firing those rockets into London. Buildings being hit. Homes being hit. Factories. He wasn't really interested in crippling the industrial capability of London with the V-2. He was interested in demoralizing the people of Britain. And if you can only imagine what we went through on September the 11th, imagine that happening every single day. Now, I shouldn't say that because I don't know how many people at any one time were killed by the V-1 or the V-2 rockets. We lost possibly, and I say the, I use the number 20,000, forgive me, it's a potential figure. What up to this point we have lost 6,600 people. So let's just say that if you can imagine going through that every day with a building blowing up, and the V-1 was slow, you could see it. You could see it. The Home Guard would stand on the beach and see the V-1 sailing over the English Channel. And they finally moved, I believe, anti-aircraft batteries down there and started shooting the V-1 out of the sky. That's when Hitler came up with party packet number 2, the V-2 rocket, which I believe flew higher and was much, much faster. And for I don't know how many years, the British people endured this. I mean, they endured it. Think of how angry you are right now. How pissed do you think you're going to be with that stuff coming down on you every day for years? Years. They got a home guard together. They got their RAF, the RAF up in the sky. Thank God the British had a superior intelligence unit, military intelligence. They were able to get a hold of a deciphering machine used by the Nazis. They were able to decipher German messages. The RAF was able to fool the German Air Force into thinking there were more of them than there really were. They were able to fool them by sending up squadrons intermittently after having intercepted these German high command messages to fool the Germans into thinking there were more planes than there actually were. I mean, they did everything. They pulled out every stop they could possibly think of. Plus, they had in their favor the ultimate military stupidity of Adolf Hitler. I mean, the guy, you know, he might have been a political genius, but as a military commander, he was a complete and utter imbecile because he went against all of the recommendations of his high command. Don't invade Russia. Invade Britain, even if it's an amphibious assault. He didn't do any of that stuff. But the point is, the British people during World War II endured what we endured on September the 11th almost on a daily basis for a period of years. And their country, their democracy, their parliamentarian, democratic form of life still is with us today. Yeah, they're a society that may be flawed. They got all the problems that we've got and maybe a few extra. They're still there. They lost their empire. They're still there. They've had to take in a lot of refugees from the countries that were under their empire and commonwealth, but they're still there. They're still functioning. They deal with all kinds of problems, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. Northern Ireland may be one of those areas where they're very wrong, but they're still there, still functioning, still dealing after having gone through what amounts to a September the 11th every day for years, with V-1 and V-2 rockets raining living hell on top of them. And they would quietly go off to the bomb shelters, and then they would come out of the bomb shelters. And then they would quietly go about the business of getting the rubble out of the way. And this is what the people of London did. And their country was nowhere near as strong as ours is now. They were facing the Nazis with a war machine that had been empowered and had been equipped and had been moneyed and had been in operation for at least 7 years. They'd already gone into Poland. They were getting ready. They'd already conquered France. This was a formidable military machine. This wasn't groups of guys in apartments so nuts they're flying planes into buildings. And yes, that's a scary kind of insanity. But still, think of how small Britain was at that time. How utterly unprotected that island was. Still with us. So, I mean, there's a lot of examples, and there are a lot of moments in history when people rose to the fore. And you know, this is our turn at bat. And really, I believe in the overall scheme of things, and the overall, when we look at what we're up against, maybe it isn't quite as tough and it's quite as difficult and it's quite as formidable as what some other people have had to deal with. Now, I'll give her a phone number out. For any of you that are listening, just write it down. Don't call, because we're not taking any calls so long as the president is speaking. And as I say, when he's done speaking, and maybe you'll maybe you're half listening to me and half listening to him, or maybe you just can't listen because you're someplace where you can't get his speech, but you can get our show. Whatever the case may be, I'll give you the number now. Write it down in your hand and come to us when we open the phone lines up, which will be probably won't be for another 15 minutes. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. As I mentioned, we're not taking any phone calls right now. President Bush is speaking before the Congress, and you should be watching it if you can. If you're listening to us, I'm assuming that there's some reason why you can't watch or listen to his speech. I'm hoping that we have practically no one listening to us right now, that everyone is around a television set or a radio listening to what the president has to say. I tried to catch some of the things he was saying during the last break. One of them was that, and I think this is terrific. First of all, he's getting an ovation after every sentence. And were this another day and another time and I was in a more sarcastic and satirical mood, I might comment on that. But that's what happens when a president goes before Congress during an extraordinary time like this. They give him a lot of ovations. It is a show of support. It's standard, okay? I'm going to resist the temptation that I'm sure many of my contemporaries will fall for, and that is commenting stupidly on things like ovations.
Have you ever seen those ovations that Bush got?
You know, back it down a notch, okay? I'm glad they're applauding the guy. One of the things he said that I think is just so important, and man, we got to get this one. We don't have a war with the Arab people. We're not at war with the Arab people. We got no axe to grind with the Arab people. We have no problem with them, and we have absolutely no problem with Islam any more than we got a problem with any other religion. We got a problem with terrorists, terror networks, and the governments that support them. And when you talk about the Middle East, there is a real difference, a huge difference possibly, between a government and its people. You know, in America, we love to complain and criticize and condemn our government, but I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between our government and the people. I mean, we're pretty much a reflection of our government. Our government's a reflection of us. Sometimes confused. Sometimes we got our heads jammed up our rear ends. Sometimes very effective. And that's us. That's our government is us, and we're our government. You go to the Middle East, and there, I don't know who those guys are representing. Can't be the people sitting in tents, starving to death, cold, hungry, thirsty. Iraq is suffering so much. Last time I looked at Saddam Hussein, he didn't look like he was missing too many meals. Have you seen that guy lately? You talk about fat. Big fat face on him. Boy, that guy is, he's eating at the fast food every night. Give him them camel burgers or whatever that cat eats. Anyway, I thought that was a great point the president made. He also said that the object is to close all terror camps, all terrorist training camps, arrest all terrorists, known terrorists, turn them over to the appropriate authorities, release from prison all Americans and foreign nationals who have been unjustly, now that's kind of a comment far afield, isn't it, who have been unjustly imprisoned, and a couple of other things that I can't remember. I took some notes as he continues to speak. But that's what President Bush is saying right now before the Congress. And when we open the phone lines up, maybe we'll get some other people who will give us some read on that. Okay, I read to you this whole thing about the Marines. Where are we now? Which one are we at? Ah, here we go. I read the Navy SEALs. And now we'll go on to the Air Force Special Operations Forces. These are all groups that are going to be involved somehow in a military operation. Air Force Special Operations, Delta Force, Army Rangers, Marine Expeditionary Unit, Navy SEALs. Now, we've read to you what the Army Rangers is about, the Marine Expeditionary Force is about, the Green Berets, and the Navy SEALs. Here is the Air Force Special Operations Forces. While not as widely known as the SEALs, the Army Rangers, or even the mysterious Delta Force, which we'll tell you about in a second, the Air Force Special Operations Forces transports and provides close air support as an integral part of all any special operations mission. Air Force SOF, Special Operations Force, are uniquely qualified to provide close air support, firing on targets, and participating in refueling, resupplying, and other support tasks. The units utilize advanced navigational and surveillance equipment. The Air Force SOF, in fact, all the U.S. military Special Operations Force units pride themselves on their quiet professionalism. Besides physical and military challenges, Special Operations Forces are also schooled in language, cultural and social differences in their assigned areas of responsibility all over the globe. Language, cultural, and social differences. That's interesting. And then finally, Delta Force, which I'm told is the creme de la creme. These guys are so proficient that they draw the most proficient guys from all the other units, and they become Delta Force. While the military acknowledges the existence of special mission units, or SMUs, such as Delta Force, it does not specify what they're called or their specific locations, their specific staffing, or their organizational structure. Unofficially, Delta Force is considered one of the U.S. military's elite Special Operations Forces units, its members drawn from all military branches. Delta Force is thought to have been formed after a spate of terrorist attacks in the 1970s. Thought to have been formed. This is like mythological. Nobody really knows. As with the Navy SEALs, several allied Special Operations Forces, including possibly those of Great Britain, France, Germany, and Israel, have significantly influenced Delta Force. The composition, strength, and abilities of Delta Force mean a closely remain a closely guarded secret, as are all its missions to date. But the unit is thought to be equipped with the nation's most advanced weaponry and equipment. Unit members undertake an extensive selection and assessment process and conduct the core of their counterterrorism training on U.S. military bases. This thing is so secret, nobody's sure when it began, what they have for equipment, where they go, who they are. Nothing. They don't even know if that's the name of them, Delta Force. Somebody gave them that name. They're just some guys, and you stay out of their way, sounds to me. So there you have it. So it's Army Rangers, U.S. Special Forces Airborne, which is Green Berets, Marine Expeditionary Units, Navy SEALs, Air Force Special Operations Forces, and Delta Force, the mysterious Delta Force. And those are the guys that, in all likelihood, on some level, in some way, will be involved in whatever military operation we undertake. Now, as I said, CNN reported that Colin Powell told a senior State Department official, and that State Department official related to CNN, that the president's speech is not, he's not going to be talking about going to war so much as waging a campaign. And he is not going to be talking about a military engagement so much as he's going to be talking about a multifaceted engagement, financial, diplomatic, legal, as well as military extensions. So I can't watch the speech, but I imagine when we open the phone lines up, some of you guys are going to be able to inform me as to whether or not that was accurate. But that was the word that CNN was sending down, I guess, about 30 minutes ago. And then the other thing that we got off the web for you guys that really want to do something for your country and you want to go and kick some ass or whatever it is that you need to do, and you don't want to take it out on some poor, innocent Arab American or Muslim, why don't you contact the Department of Transportation? Because guess what they need? You got it. Civil aviation security specialists, or in other words, federal air marshals. All right, the salary ranges from 35 G's a year to about 80K. The location, various. Federal Aviation Administration, Associate Administrator for Civil Aviation and Security is the organizational location. Yada, 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 yada. Federal air marshals respond to criminal incidents aboard U.S. air carriers, as well as other in-flight emergencies. Federal air marshals are authorized to carry firearms and make arrests while preserving the safety of aircraft, crew, and passengers. Federal air marshals must be eligible for and maintain a top secret security clearance based upon a favorably educated special background investigation as a condition of employment. These guys aren't just going to be, pardon me, I don't mean to say anything cruel to those of you who may be in that profession, but these guys aren't rubber bullet security guards. This is not going to be no rubber bullet operation. These guys are going to be a very highly trained police force. They're a police force with federal backup. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our phone number. We're not taking calls, not until the president is done speaking. This is The Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Taking a step of busying our lines out, we can hit a button and busy our lines anytime we want to, and we've busied them out so that no one can call because we don't think anybody ought to be calling a talk show in the middle of an address by the president before the Congress of the United States, a joint meeting of the Congress, a joint assembly of the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives all together listening to the president speak right now, so we're not taking any phone calls. And once he's done, if he's done before the end of the program, we'll open the phone lines back up. But we listened to him a little bit during the break. He mentioned a website that if you want to give money, I believe this is primarily for monetary donations, but they also have, I think, some links to the American Red Cross. This is a website that the president mentioned during his address, libertyunites.org. LibertyUnites.org, and we got on it. It took some time because I imagine it's just being assaulted right now. Under the auspices of the American Liberty Partnership, online donations so far, they've raised $73 million. $73,287 has been contributed. $73 million has been contributed by the online community to disaster release efforts as of September 20th. Relief organizations need your help. Make your online donation today. Donate now. I think that's a link, isn't it, Mike? Yeah, there's a link you can go to donate money, how kids can help. And anyway, that's what it is, Liberty Unites. Okay, he also mentioned that we need to move forward and understand that our economic values, the reason why we're a successful country economically, are still sound, that the source is the hard work and ingenuity of the American people, and that has not been touched. And that we need to, you know, keep the faith and have faith in the American economy and to reinvest in it. He mentioned air marshals. He mentioned the fact that the aviation authority will be given the authority to hire air marshals and to be on board all aircraft. He asked the American people to be patient because there will be some inconveniences and there will be some delays now when it has to do with travel. And he said, hug your kids. That's what he said so far. So that's what we've been listening to as we listen to the president talk to the Joint Assembly of the Congress and the people of the United States on television right now. Then we were reading from the Air Marshal, just some of the Air Marshal requirements, if you're interested. I tried to get Craig to get interested in this. He's only 25 years of age, and they're cutting it off at 37, so he could get into that. Then I said, hey, Craig, why don't you become a CIA agent? Then I said, why don't you become an FBI agent? He don't want none of it. He says he's got flat feet. And then I asked Schaefer, and Schaefer says he's got a trick knee. He says, you want to see it do tricks? I said, get out of here, man. Anyway, the basic salary range is reflected from $35,000 to $80,000 for a air marshal. In addition, positions are covered by the 25% law enforcement availability pay. Salary will be adjusted to include locality pay based on the duty location of the position, etc. Federal air marshals must be eligible for and maintain a top secret security clearance based upon a favorably adjudicated special background investigation. You've got to be a U.S. citizen. Candidates must be under 37 years of age. All of this crap I can't do. I can't be a CIA agent. I can't be an FBI agent. I can't enlist. Guy asked me the other day in the air. He said, what would you do? Hey, you're talking like a big man, Henry. Would you put on a uniform? I said, yeah, if they'd have me. I don't want to embarrass myself by going out of a recruiting office and saying, hi, I'd like to enlist. Yeah, thanks, Pops. You know, I mean, I'll be the guy walking around. You ever see those old war movies, the Home Guard, the British Home Guard, an old guy with a tin hat on, and he's walking around, you know, checking to make sure everybody's doors are locked? That's me, with a whistle. Time to go to the bomb shelter. That's me with a flashlight. You know, that'd be the job that I would take, because that'd be the only job I could get. And I would do it proudly. So there it is, federal air marshals they're looking for. And as I said before the break, they're not looking for rubber bullet cops. This is going to be a very highly trained core of people. I'm sure that it's going to be a very proficient core of people. It's going to include individuals who've had law enforcement training, extensive law enforcement training, top security clearance, a host of other things. Federal air marshals. It's the Phil Hendry Show. President Bush is speaking, and we're not taking any calls until he's done talking. And when he does, then we'll get right back to it. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but we mentioned a guy called and he said something about St. Paul's Chapel in New York having been untouched by the destruction of the World Trade Center. St. Paul's Church is a block and a half from the World Trade Center. And the thing that made it interesting about it not being touched is because George Washington apparently said a prayer there before he was inaugurated as President of the United States. So it has this kind of cool link all the way back to the President of the United States. And even though the World Trade Center, the attack on the World Trade Center, not only destroyed those two buildings, but did extensive damage to buildings in the neighborhood, this church, this St. Paul's Church, was untouched. And I said, well, I don't know why I think that's cool, but I think it's because there's a whole really profound symbolism, and the thing's been informed with this very heavy symbolism, with Washington saying a prayer there, like the first president of the United States, and the thing wasn't touched by this attack. I got on the website, and I found, after just not too much real heavy searching, I found pictures of New York City police officers in the wake of the attack on the World Trade Center. Use St. Paul's Church just to go in and chill out and pray and sit. And they've got a couple of pictures of officers in there sitting, praying, chilling, whatever that they were doing in there. Is that a Catholic church? I guess it doesn't make any difference, does it? Nah. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Here's something cool. Despite warnings from top government officials that terrorists would use exotic technology to communicate, suspected terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden instead has used no-tech methods, foiling efforts to track him. But there are some lingering electronic trails by his suspected operatives being investigated by federal officials. Intelligence agents once could keep tabs on bin Laden when he used a satellite phone that could be picked up by U.S. spy gear and matched to his voice print. That capability leaked to bin Laden, so he swore off talking on the phone, according to Mark Enger, former director of operations at the Air Intelligence Agency. He switched a lot of communications technologies. Unfortunately, now it's other people talking to him in an innocuous conversation. You can't pick that out. Bin Laden relies on human messengers, safe houses, and close-knit groups such as family members to send out his directives. This isn't low-tech, said Wayne Madsen. You'd have to call it no-tech. He's cute. He's real cute. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. The president has finished speaking, so we've got our phone lines open again. For those of you who might have left to watch the president, We busied out the phones. We weren't going to take any phone calls and talk to people while he was talking because I figured you guys ought to be there to listen to it. If you want to give us a call, we got a few minutes left in the program. One of the other things that came today in terms of news, and you know, I haven't even mentioned it because it was like such a strange thing. You know, they had their little meeting over in Afghanistan. Yeah, let me write down a note here. Arab people, not our enemy. I got to do another 3-hour air shift for Los Angeles here right after this. They had their meeting over there, and the meeting of the Islamic clerics recommended to the Taliban government that bin Laden be asked to leave. That he be, in other words, I don't know. He'd be asked to leave. He'd be invited to leave voluntarily. Was that it? And so we were talking about that. I said, so what do? They go down there. They say, yeah, would you leave? No. Oh, okay. Here's what he needs. He needs a place to go that's safe. So what happens if you're a country, oh, I don't know, any country, and you say, well, you can come over here. You can live here. Right? And then as soon as he gets there, they turn around and they give him over to us. And we can invite him over. Hey, why don't we invite him to get, if you want to live here? What if we could cut a deal with this guy and say, look, if you give yourself over to us, we will keep you alive. You think he would even respond to something like that? Probably not. But the obvious answer to all of this is that he is not going to leave Afghanistan because he feels safe there, because he is obviously hunted now. And it's what I said at the very beginning of the program, and something that we have to keep in mind. These people, the people that perpetrated these acts and others, are on their heels right now. They're not on their heels. They have gone back into the shadows. They're a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, on the run. They realize that they are now being hunted. And I imagine, and I'm going to tell you right now, unless I miss my guess, and I could be missing it by a mile, I don't know that you're going to be hearing too much about any terrorist activity going on anywhere in the world by individuals associated with this guy for a while. Now, I don't know how long that will be. Maybe a month. I think they're sitting back and seeing what we're going to do. And if what we do has no effect, then you'll see this stuff happen again. If what we do is having an effect, and a lot of that is behind the scenes, economic, diplomatic pressure, blah, 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 then you know you're on the right track. You know what I'm saying? 1-800-449-8686. Same thing happened to me last night, Craig. My nose is starting to get to stuff up again, man. The problem with those cold pills is they drive me like nuts. I got home last night and I felt crazy. I felt weirded out or something. Don't we have any nasal spray or something? What do they have, those antihistamines? Don't they do anything to your brain? They're weird, man. They got like a speed in them or something? Yeah, they jack my brain up all the hell. So 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Bill, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
I just want to say that I agree with the president 100%.
I didn't even see it. What did he say?
He said that he is going to go over there and he's going to snatch them terrorists up and he's going to bring them in to justice. And if any nation out there wanted to side with him, that he would take them down too.
Did he say how he was going to do it?
No, he really said he's going to do sneak attacks. He's going to take our troops in and he's going to sneak attack them. He's going to shut down all the terrorists.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill. I think you're full of crap. Here's Phil on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Phil.
Yo, Phil, what's going on,
man? Fine. How you doing?
Love you show.
Thanks.
Hey, listen, I'm going to get to my point, make it short and sweet.
See, I didn't see this speech, so now I got people calling in. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Phil, to make this point. I didn't see the speech, so now I got this jive guy calling me from... Is that your girlfriend, Phil?
No.
What, she got the phone turned, the radio turned up and getting all giggly and excited because you're on the radio?
No, actually, we still got the press conference going on here.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking at Trent Lott? Okay, as long as she's talking, I can't talk to you is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, Amanda, shut up.
There you go. That's my... Did you hear that, guys? Amanda, shut up. I love it. All right, Phil. Seriously,
okay, anyway,
man, I can't...
My whole take on this situation is...
Go ahead.
No matter who it was, whether it was Bin Laden, whether it was Saddam Hussein, I don't care who it was. Whoever it was needs to fess up to what they did and stop being such a wuss and, you know, face the fact that America's going to go over and bomb the hell out of them because picked the wrong country to mess with.
We're not going to bomb the hell out of them.
Well,
did you watch the speech?
Well, figuratively, we're going to bomb the hell out of them.
Okay, I gotta go. That girlfriend of yours is driving me out of my mind. I'm gonna find her and smack her myself. I'm just kidding about that, folks. Okay,
right,
Phil,
man.
Thanks a lot. Bye bye. He asked her to be quiet. Oh yes, he did tell her to shut up. But you know. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, I'm on the radio. I'm on the phone. Shut up. And she's running her mouth in the background talking about this and that and something else. Did Bush say we're going to bomb the hell out? I didn't see the speech. I'm on the air. I'm doing a radio show here. I had no opportunity to hear every little thing. I did hear him say, what I got is some information leaked by Colin Powell, or somebody leaked it to Colin Powell, or Colin Powell leaked it to somebody, that it was going to be a campaign, not so much a war, and that it was going to involve all facets of military might, economic, diplomatic, military, etc. Steve, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I think that Bin Laden's group, or whoever is behind this, might actually do something over the next few weeks to kind of spite us and throw this speech back in our face.
Okay, and where is that going to get them?
I think it's more so to show that they can stand up to America and to try and gain support around the world. I don't think it's going to be effective. I think it's just going to further solidify the resolve of the
Americans. Now, when you say gain support, what support are they going to gain? The first thing they tried, or at least the most recent thing they tried, has got them internationally condemned.
Right, I agree with that. My thoughts are because of some backwards thinking that is going on, that they might make that move more so to spite America as well as anyone that is saying, trying to create a sense of fear across the country and say...
Well, I think that if they want to try something, this is the wrong country to try it now. And I'm not saying that for any, you know, chest-beating reason. I literally, this country is in such a high security alert state right now, I think they'd be insane to try anything here. I don't know. They could probably get away with it in some other country in the Middle East. Europe has learned its lessons the hard way, and they're certainly in a high state of security alert. So I'm not quite sure where they're going to do it if what you say is true. I don't think so. I think that just brings more heat down on them. Heat ain't what they need right now. Bin Laden has been asked to leave. He doesn't have to leave. He can just sit on his rear end in his cave. But the fact is, he's a wanted man. There's a price on his head. There's a price on the head now of every terrorist. I know you hope you're wrong, Steve. Okay, but I don't think there's a lot of logic in what you're saying. 1-800. I just don't know why they'd maybe that, you know. As recalcitrant children, they would do something to show, you can't do anything else. We're going to blow up another airport. Watch. Yeah, that's about their speed. I don't think they're that dumb, though. I think emotionally they're probably that unhinged, but I don't think that's stupid. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Chad, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, how's it going, Phil?
Fine, sir.
All righty. Hey, listen, Phil, I heard the Southern guy talking before about...
the Southern guy? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But, at any rate, he was right about him going in there, about Bush. You know, I was kind of getting the same notion that this was going to be some type of a, you know, campaign, and we weren't going to, you know, these us as Americans, we are getting riled up about this.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Bush needs to look at that as a president, and I don't think... It would matter who it was that was president. They would be doing the same thing that he's doing right now.
Well, absolutely. But what did he say he was going to do militarily? Did he specify?
Well, no. But, I mean, he just gave that... I just got the notion that he was serious and we were going to go in there. We were going to kick some, you know...
Well, it depends on what he means by kicking ass, though. Is it a small military operation? Is it a big one? Is it a military operation in concert with a lot of other things, you know?
Well, I mean, put it this way. He said something to the fact of, I just want you to know I'm sending he made comments to the, the Army and so forth, the Navy, that he said that they will be going and that they're going for a reason, and America will strike and we will be there. Don't worry about it. I mean, that was...
But he's not saying what? He's not saying what? All right, man, thanks.
Sure.
All right. And that brings us to the end of another perfect show. This has been so bizarre. It's like we're living in the Twilight Zone, man. It's not the Phil Hendry Show. It's a version of what I do. But I'm very happy that you hang with us and we can talk about this. And the sooner we get back to doing our regular comedy show, the better. I hope it's soon. I hope it isn't a long time. But however long we need to do this kind of radio, we're going to do that too. Phil Hendry Show, Remember New York.